Speaking with the Maseches Moikatan from Daf Beis right in the beginning. So the Mishnah begins, Mashkin Beis HaShlachin B'moed U'B'Shvius. So the halach is, the Mishnah says, you're allowed to water the grass, whether it's Beis HaShlachin, Beis HaShlachin. Rashi explains, look at the top Rashi here, Mashkin Beis HaShlachin B'moed Sadeh Shu Omedis Behar. It's a field that's on a mountain. Yitzarech Lashkosa Tamid, you need to constantly water this field. And mashkin osa afilu b'chol shemoid, and you're allowed to even water it, even though there's an iser to do any melacha on chol hamoed. The machlok is rishonim whether melacha on chol hamoed is an iser derais or an iser derabanan, but everyone agrees it's aser. So why are you allowed to water this if it's a melacha on chol hamoed? So says the Rashi, the fishahu lo hefsed gadol im eino mashke osa. Since a beis hashlachim, it's a particular field. If you don't often water, it's going to be destroyed. So there's a hetter to do work on chol hamoed if it's going to be a hefsed gadol. So the Mishnah says you're mashkin again beis hashlachim b'moed and also b'shvius. You're also allowed to do this during shmita year. The Gemara will explain why that is, even though we know that's an iser to do work during shmita on the field. There's a hetter of being mashkin during shmita. And then the Mishnah says bein mayon shiyatze b'tchila. Bein mamayan shelo yatsa b'tchila. Now, regardless of what type of spring it is, there are different types of springs. So, a mayan shiyatsa b'tchila, it's a new spring. They just found a new opening for a spring, and the Gemara is going to explain there's a chashash that this spring might fall apart. So, we're going to explain how that works, whether it's a brand new spring or a mayan shelo yatsa b'tchila. There wasn't a new spring, but that's been there for a long time now. Either type of mayan you could use to draw the water and water the fields during Shemitah and Moedka and Chol HaMoed. Aval, what you can't do, says the Mishnah, is Ein Mashkin Lo Mimei HaGshamim V'Lo Mimei HaKilon. You are not allowed to use water from the rain because you have to start bringing it from elsewhere. It's going to involve a lot of Tircha, says Rashi. And also, Mimei HaKilon is referring to an area that would also kind of catch the rainwater as well. It's the Lav Tircha to start picking up all the pails. So even though certain times you're allowed to do Melacha on Chol HaMoed, if heavy Tircha is involved, so then you aren't allowed to do certain Melachos on Chol HaMoed. So then the Mishnah says, Vein Osen Ugios L'Gefanim. Ugia is like a cookie, like a circle. So you can't make Ugios circles around Gefanim, where they would have water collect around the vines to help water the grapes. That would be aser also during Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Ein osin es ha'ama b'tchila, b'moed u'b'shvius. Rabbi Elazar says that you're not allowed to make an ama. An ama was an irrigation line of some sort to draw the water to the field. You cannot make a new fresh one during Chol HaMoed and Shvius. By the way, there's a lot of information here in this first Mishnah and very heavy on the farming here. The Gemara is going to analyze each of these as we go ahead. So it's again very dense in the beginning, but we'll break it down as we go through the Gemara over the next few days. So we're going to just quickly go through the list of the Mishnah here, but then we'll appreciate it in the next few days. So then the Chacham Omrim, Osin es ha'ama b'tchila b'shvius. Chacham argue and say you are allowed to make a new irrigation path during Shemitah year. Then they add further in the Mishnah, U'misaknin es ha'mekukolos b'moed. And they say if a irrigation path gets broken or starts to fall down, you're allowed to fix it. You can't make a brand new one during Chol HaMoed, but you are allowed to fix one that's falling apart. U'misaknin es kilkulei ha'mayim shebirshus harabim. And you're allowed to also fix if there's some water, there's some water tower that people would drink from that's getting ruined. You're allowed to fix that in Rishus HaRabim. Because one of the other heterim of Chol HaMoed, doing work on Chol HaMoed, if it's Tzarchei Tzibor, you could do Melacha as well. So if it's Rishus HaRabim for the Hamonam, you could fix it as well. V'chotetin oso. What's chotetin mean? So if you look over at Tosfos here, Tosfos explains chotetin oso means Shim nismale habor. Let's say the pit fills up with water and you need more space, so you're allowed to then dig off to the side and widen the pit to allow for more water to collect in this pit. So that's permitted on Chol HaMoed as well. And then the Mishnah says, U'misatkin es ha'drachim ves ha'rechovos ves ha'mikvos ha'mayim. And also, if there's a street that gets broken, you could fix a highway or a road during Chol HaMoed, because that's Tzarchei Rabim. And Mikvaos, of course, is Tzarchei Rabim. V'os and Kol Tzarchei Rabim, and all the other types of needs for the public, you're allowed to do and fix during Chol HaMoed. And then Mitzayin and Esar. Tzarcha Rabim, I believe, trumps everything. I don't remember how all the factors play out, but I believe Tzarcha Rabim does trump, I think, it trumps everything. Then the Mishnah concludes, Metzayin es HaKvaros, you're allowed to be Metzayin the Kvaros. You can mark off where the different Kvaros are going to be. We mentioned on Shabbos there are two different reasons why, the difference here, why one would be Metzayin es HaKever, to show where Kever is. Pasha Pshat is, so the Kohanim don't walk over there. There's an Isser for a Kohen to come into contact with Tumah. But the other reason we saw Rav Yaakov Emden mentioned, because you have to know where to daven at Kivrei Tzadikim. So you want to know where the kever of Avram Avinu is, or Yitzchak Avinu is, so they would mark it off, or even a relative to daven at a relative's kever. That might be another reason why they'd be Mitzayin as a Kvaros. And then finally, the Mishnah says, V'yotin af al klayim. You would also allow to go out on Chol HaMoed to take apart any klayim, as the spring would come, and things would start overgrowing and crossbreeding with each other, particularly wheat and grapes, you're allowed to start separating it, ripping out the mixing. So again, there's a very heavy Mishnah. As we go through the Gemara, we'll explain each of these ideas as they come up. So let's begin the Gemara now. Hashta yesh lomar. Now that the Gemara is established, the Mishnah is established, Mimayan shiyata betchila, that a mayan shiyata betchila, a spring that started off a brand new spring, da'asalin pule, that's going to fall out, because if you knew spring, you have no idea if the rocks around it, the dirt around it's going to hold, or maybe from the moisture might just collapse. So if we allow a mayan shiyatza betchila, a brand new spring that also limpula, that might fall apart, we could be mashkin. So then, mi mayan shiyatza betchila. So, dilo asila and pule. Already a well-established spring that's not going to fall apart. Mi bai, do you have to teach that that's permitted during Chol HaMoed? Again, certainly if you have a very well-established mayan, it should be permitted. What's the chiddush here of the Gemara? So the Gemara says, Amri Itzrich, you need to teach me, because itana mayan shiyotza betchila. If the Mishnah only mentioned you're allowed to use a brand new mayan, a yotza betchila, so I would have thought the following halacha. Havamin, I would have thought, hacha hu debes hashlachin in beis habal lo. You would think a brand new mayan, a brand new spring, can only be used for a beis hashlachin, which is a field that needs a lot of water. So if I don't water this field, it's going to get destroyed. So I'm allowed to use a weak spring, even though it might cause more tircha if it falls apart. I'm still allowed to use it because my field is going to go bad. When it comes to a beis habal, which is a field that doesn't require a lot of watering, it's a very moist ground, so that I can't use the brand new spring to schlep water to my beis habal, because the beis habal is a very well-watered field as it is. That's why I would have learned about a brand new spring. But when it came to a mayan shaliyatza betchila, if the Mishnah didn't mention a mayan shaliyatza betchila, if it said it didn't mention an old mayan, the lo asalin pule, a well-established spring won't fall apart, I would have thought the following halacha, if it wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah, I would have said, afilu beis habal nami. Maybe I could use a well-established spring, not only to water a beis hashlachin, a under-watered field, but I could even use it for a beis habal, a field that doesn't require a lot of water, because this spring is never going to fall apart, so I could use it for anything. And so the Gemara says, Kamash Mulan, not true. Lo shna mayan shiyatza betchila. Lo shna mayan shalo yatza betchila. There is no difference whatever type of spring it is. Whether it's a brand new spring or a well-established spring, the loch is you could only collect water from the spring for beis hashlachin in. The beis hashlachin requires a lot of water, but for a beis habal, a field that doesn't require a lot of water, lo. You're not allowed to collect water from any of the springs because the beis habal is going to be able to make it for that week of Pesach, or that week of Sukkot. So that's where we learn why it mentions both types of springs. Gemara now wants to know, my mashma de hai beis hashlachim lishna de tzchusahi. The word beis hashlachim literally means a house or an area you would send water to. But we're understanding beis hashlachim to refer to a field that's tzchusa. Tzchusa means a very thirsty field. So how does beis hashlachim connect to thirst? Why is that terminology shlachim used? So the Gemara says, "Dichsiv." The pasuk tells us, "Va'ata yef viyageya." You're tired and exhausted. And one of the interpretations of "ayef viyageya" is "tsame lamayim." You're very thirsty. The pasuk says, "So umitagamina." And the Targum writes, "Vat mishale." It uses the word mishale to describe someone who's thirsty. Mishale. We're switching the hey and the ches, mishali is also mishalchi. So we see mishalchi is coming to define the word ayef v'yageya. So the thirsty is shlachin. Beit ha-shlachin means a thirsty field. That's where it comes from. V'as mishale v'lohi. So now the Gemara wants to know, what about my mashma dahai beis ha-baal lishna dimiyasvusahi? How do you know the word beis ha-baal means a satisfied yasvusa, a satisfied yishuv adas? How do you know the word beis ha-baal connects to yasvusa, that means satisfied? So the chsiv, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, ki yival bachar besula, when a bachar is baal a besula, umitargamina, and the targum explains, what does this mean? Ari kame dimisusev olam in besulta yisavninan begavich banich. It's going to create, does Rashi explain it? It doesn't explain anything here. It's going to be satisfying, and therefore we see lashon of a baal, boel, is lashon of yisivusa. And that's why we use the word beis ha-shlachim for a thirsty property, and beis ha-baal for a satisfied property. The Gemara now says, man tana dipseida in harvachalo. So we said in the Mishnah that when there's going to be a tremendous loss, like the beis ha-shlachim, if you don't water the Beis HaShlachim again is a field that needs a lot of constant water. So if you don't water it for an entire week of Pesach or Sukkot, which includes Chol HaMoed, so then it's going to get destroyed. So there's only a heter of being Mashkin Beis HaShlachim because it's a hefset. So who says only for Pseida in is Mashkin permitted, but Harvacha? For a field that doesn't require any watering, it's not going to get destroyed, but it's going to get better. If I water my grass for another week, it's going to get better, but it might not get destroyed. So who permits for pseida purposes, but doesn't permit for harvacha, won't permit it for added, for to create additional growth without any loss? So pseida is permitted, but not harvacha. Who is this? And afilu b'makom pseida. And who's the one who holds, even in a case where there is a potential loss, mitrach nami lo tarchinan, but we won't have any tircha. So if there's any loss, we said the Beis HaShlachim, there's going to be some level of loss, but if it involves heavy tircha, so then we won't allow you to do tircha to prevent the loss. So who is the author behind this Mishnah? And so the Gemara says now, Amar Rav Huna, it must be Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakovi. How do we know it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? Ditnan. The Mishnah tells us later on, Davav, that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Moshchin es hamayim mi'ilan le'ilan. Let's say there's some water around one tree, so you can now somehow dig a little ditch to draw the water to the other tree. U'bilvad shlo yishke es hasadakula. So if I've got one tree that requires a lot of watering, and there's a water around it, I could dig a little path so the water gets to the other tree. That's permitted, because without that water, the second tree is going to die. But he says, with a little caveat there, but you cannot water the entire field. So that's what we're saying, because why not? Because harvacha is not permitted. The rest of the field doesn't need any watering. So if I were to water the rest of the field, that'd be harvacha. So harvacha is not permitted. But to prevent my tree from dying in that pseida, I am allowed to draw a path to that one particular tree. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov allows to water, to do melach on chol hamoed for pseida, but doesn't allow it for harvacha. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Amar de Shmasle the Rabbi Eliezer Harvacha de lo tircha b'makum pseida mishmasle. Okay, so we see Rabbi Eliezer doesn't allow Harvacha. But do we see anything about no tircha b'makum pseida? We don't see any limitation. When it comes to preventing a loss, he doesn't have any restriction on tircha or not tircha. Our Mishnah says pseida is only permitted if there's no tircha. But Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov doesn't give us that impression at all, any limitation of tircha. He has Harvacha versus Pseida. That much we've established. But nowhere does he mention anything about Tircha. So back to square one now. Who authored our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Ella, Amara Papa, Hamani, it must be authored by Rabbi Yehuda. The Tani, the Baisa tells us, Mayan Hayotze B'Tchila, Mashkin Mimenu, Afilu Sode Beis Habal, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Now we're not concerned with Rabbi Meir, but he says, if a brand new spring, Hayot b'tchila, you could use all that water not only to water the Beis HaShlachim, but even to water the Beis HaBaal. That's the Shita of Rabbi Meir. But now comes along Rabbi Yehuda, who we think is the author of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Mashkin Ela Sada Beis HaShlachim Shecharva. you're only permitted to water a Beis HaShlachim field that's Charva, that's been destroyed. Fine, that's a Pseida. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria Omer, Lokach, Lokach. He doesn't permit either case. You can never use a Mayan Hayota B'tchila. A brand new spring can never be used. Yes, Ya'akain. Moreover, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Yifane Adam Amas HaMayim V'yishka L'ginaso U'l'chavasa B'chol HaMoed. In addition to that, Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot redirect a little irrigation path of water to water your garden or to water churvasa. Now, literally, churvasa means it's referring to a destroyed area. So now that's the brisa. So now we're trying to clarify something here. The Gemara says, my charva, when the Mishnah, brisa above said that Rabbi Yehuda permitted you to water Beis HaShlachim HaShecharva, that's been destroyed, what's the definition of charva? Ilema charva mamish. If it means mamish destroyed, so lamale demaskele. What are you watering? It's destroyed. If you water dirt, nothing's going to happen to watering dirt. If you water grass and seeds, then it's going to grow better. But just to put water in dirt, it's going to turn to mud. So if it's referring to mamish charva, it's mamish been destroyed, it's all dirt, that's not going to accomplish anything. So that can't be the definition that Rabbi Yehuda permits you to water a destroyed field. So it comes along now, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Shecharva mimayan zeh v'yatzala mayan acher. That what happens is that, no, the spring had been destroyed and water started coming out from another one. So the old spring that they used to regularly use from, that got destroyed. So now it's a brand new one they found. So then you are allowed to water from that new property. That's what we're saying here. So then the Gemara quotes, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria Omer, Lo kach v'lo kach. He says he can't use either one. Lo shna charv ma'ayana. Lo shna charv ma'ayana. One second here. Lo shna charv ma'ayana. It doesn't make a difference whether it got destroyed or whether it didn't get destroyed. The halacha is ma'ayan shiyata b'tchila lo. You could never use a brand new spring, no matter what, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. So right now what we're saying here, that Rabbi Yehuda permits you to water Beis HaShlachim, he must be the one who allows you to do things for Pseida, but not things that are for Harvacha. So the Gemara says, I know it's a little bit confusing, guys. It gets a little easier in Amud Beza. So the Gemara says, how do you know this is the case? Dilma ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yehuda Beis HaShlachim Beis HaBa'alo. Maybe he doesn't say this, that a Beis HaShlachim is permitted to water, but Beis HaBa'al not. Elamayan shiyatza betchila, maybe only by a brand new mayan could you use to only water Beis HaShlachim, but not a Beis HaBa'al. But maybe dilma asilan pule, because a brand new spring might come to break. Aval, but maybe Rabbi Yehuda says when it comes to a mayan shelo yatza betchila, a well-established mayan that's not a betchila, not a brand new one, dilo asilan pule, that won't come to fall, then maybe he would permit it afilu Beis HaBa'al. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would allow you even to water Beis HaBa'al. And a Beis HaBa'al doesn't need watering. There's no pseida there. It's only harvacha to water a Beis HaBa'al. So maybe he holds that way. So the Gemara says that can't be the case, because im kein masnisin aman tarme. If Rabbi Yehuda is not the author, then who said our mission? We have no author. So therefore it must be Rabbi Yehuda. And we'll finish this point here, then we'll get to a fresh new topic, a little bit easier topic. El Rabbi Yehuda, lo shna mayan shiyatza b'tchila, lo shna mayan shelo yatza b'tchila. Rabbi Yehuda must say, I don't care what type of spring it is, whether it's a new spring or an old spring, Beis HaShlachim in, Beis HaBa'al lo. You can water Beis HaShlachim because it's going to be a hefsed if you don't water it, but you can't water Beis HaBa'al because that's harvacha, that's not necessary, it's only just to get an additional growth, and that's not permitted on Chol HaMoed. That's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. But the Gemara says, if really Rabbi Yehuda says his halacha by both types of springs, so why does the Braisa say, v'hayd dekatani mayan shiyatza b'tchila? So why the Braisa say they're arguing about a brand new spring? It just said they're arguing about both types of springs, whether it's a new one or whether it's an old spring. So the Gemara answers, it's simply they chose the one case of mayan shiyatza b'tchila lo diyacha kocha de Rabbi Meir, to show us the strength of Rabbi Meir's position. De'afilu mayan hayote b'tchila mask mimenu afilu sadehabal. That Rabbi Meir had this chiddush, that he was so lenient in terms of watering grass, that even a brand new spring, a brand new spring of water that might collapse and cause all the sircha, even that's permitted to water a Beis HaBaal, even though the Beis HaBaal doesn't need it, it's simply for Harvacha, Rabbi Meir is so meikel. So that's why we chose that case, just to show Rabbi Meir's position. But when it comes to Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah, that again, he only allows you to water a Beis HaShlachim because of a Pseida, but he doesn't allow you to water a Beis HaBaal because that is Harvacha. Okay, that was a bit of a challenging piece, guys. Now let's get to a little easier. New topic, related though. This relates to Hilchos Shabbos as well. The Gemara now says, Itmar, ha-menachesh v'amashke mayim lezorim b'Shabbos. Person's menachesh. What does menachesh mean? Weed, right, to weed it out. To take out all the bad weeds, the grass. It's bettering the grow. Ha-mashke, person waters the zorim b'Shabbos. Mishamay masrinem be. A person does this on Shabbos, what do you warn him for doing? What iser is he going to be involved in? Which malacha? So look at Tosus for a second. Dibur maschil mishumai masrinim be. Tosus writes here, De'ein adam loke velo nerag ela basra. A person only gets killed if he violates any mises bezdin. He needs a warning. You need to warn the guy first. Say, listen, you're about to violate iser Shabbos. You're about to violate an iser of Avodah Zarah. And if you don't warn him, he's not going to receive Malkos, nor will he receive Misa. There are a few exceptions where you don't need Hasra. Anybody know any of the exceptions where you don't need a Hasra? You could kill the guy anyways without there being Hasra? No one? None of them? No, nothing? What? Yeah, so what's the answer then? Adam Zomim. Adam Zomim is one example where there's no Hasra by Adam Zomim, Gemara and Ksubis. Another example is a Mesis. Mesis also you could kill without there being a Hasra. Might be a couple others I'm not remembering, but Mesis and Vodazark and Eden Zomim come to mind. But other than the few exceptions, you always have to warn the individual that you're about to violate an Avera. So Tosus continues and says, so, Shemasrinim Bo, Lo Saser Hach Isura. Don't do the following Isser. So when you tell them the Isser you're doing, you have to give the actual source. You need to quote the Pasuk. That you're about to violate the Isser of Lo Saseh Bamlacha. You're about to violate the Isser of Avodah Zarah, of Edim Zomim. You have to quote the Pasuk. You can't just say you're doing something wrong. There's an Isser deraisa, and this is the Pasuk that you're violating. So when it comes to Shabbos, so you have to be even more specific. You have to actually say which Malacha of Lo Saseh Bamlacha you're about to violate. So which Malacha is this? So when you do Menachesh, when you pull out the weeds, which again helps the other remaining food, or the rather flowers and bushes grow, and watering it, that helps it grow. So if I had to ask you, which malacha you think that would be? Any suggestions on this one? Watering the grass, which malacha is that? Zareah. Zareah, right, Zareah. So Pashup Shai, what's the question? Of course it's Zareah. You're watering the grass, of course it's Zareah. What's a Shaila? So look what the Gemara says. So Mishum Mai Masrinim Bay, what is the Hasra you're giving for a person who's about to put on his sprinklers? So Rabba Amar Mishum Chorish, he says it's actually plowing. And Rav Yosef Amar Mishum Zareah, because it's planting. So what's the Machlokas? Amar Rabba Kivasi Didi Mistavra, Rabba says, with all due respect, what I'm saying is more correct here, because Ma Darchel Shel Chorish the Repuye Ara, what does Chorish do? It's there to soften the ground. The idea of Chorish is to soften the ground so you could plant seeds in afterwards. You put seeds on top of a hard property, nothing's going to grow. You first soften the ground, and then you drop the seeds in, and then it goes a couple inches inside the ground and grows. So just like Chorish weakens, softens the ground, Hainami Marpa Ara. When you pull out the weeds, it softens the ground. When you water the dirt, it softens the ground, so it's a malacha of Chorish. That's the Shita of Rabba. So Amr of Yosef, Kivasi didi mistavra. Rav Yosef thinks my position is more correct, because ma darchel shel zareya litzmuchei pira, just like planting a seed, it has something grow. Hachanami mitzamech pira. When you pull out the bad weeds, it helps everything leftover grow. When you water the grains, the grass, it's going to grow more. So it's a more of a din of zareya. That's a machlokas. So look what Tosos says, a very important Tosos when it comes to the Melachos of Shabbos. What's the Yesod HaMachlokas? What's the Nekudas Machlokas between Rabba and Rav Yosef? So it says Tosos, Dibur HaMaschil Ka Mirfuye Ara, that's softening the ground. Dibasar Iker Melacha Azlinan, the Dom Melachorish. You're following the primary Melacha, which is Chorish. We're going to explain what that means in just a second. And Rav Yosef, afagav de'ikar melacha dom melachorish, even though it looks like plowing, because you're not dropping any seeds in here, but the machshevet hanefesh lav l'rfuyara. When you water the grass, you don't intend on softening the grass. You intend on having it grow better. So my machshava, when I water the grass, is to have it grow. Ah, in the chanami, it's going to immediately soften the ground like chorish, but my machshava tells me I want it to grow. So what's the machlokus? This is a very fundamental machlokus. The Egle Tal and others all quote this machlokus here to explain every machlokus in Shabbos. That the rabba savar libasar ha-maisa midaminala v'lo ba'achar ha-machshava. Rabba says to define and categorize a mlacha, you look at the action, how it's being done, and not based on your machshava, on your thought, which is another way of saying what your end goal is, totsah. Right, the big hakir for every Mlacha Shabbos, is it a Maisa or is it about Totsa? So another example that comes in when it comes to, let's say, Zorea, for I drop a seed in the ground, and I drop a watermelon pit, and I pick it up right away. Is that going to be a problem of Zorea or not? So it's a Machlokes Rashash and Minchas Chinuch. In terms of the Maisa, well, I dropped a pit on the ground, that's a Maisa Zorea, dropping seeds. But in terms of Totsa, well, I picked it up before it ever was able to take any root. So there's no totsa, there's no result. Or let's say, for example, there's a rashash and others have a machlokas. I place a piece of dough in an oven that's on. And I put it in and take it out right away. Well, the placing of the dough is a maisa bishul, because that's how cooking is done, initially baking is done. But I took it out before anything resulted, before any totsa happened. My machshava wasn't met. So is it about the maisa? Or is about the totza. And that hakira applies to every single mlacha of Shabbos. Another one, kosef. I write two letters that have no meaning. I write aleph, aleph. So I did a maisa ksiva, I wrote two alephs. You have to write shnake osios, the Mishnah says, to violate kosef. But there's no totza because it's meaningless. Aleph, aleph doesn't mean anything. So I haven't created anything, even though it's a maisa ksiva, it's not a totza. So this is, again, the Chakira. You could plug it in with every Malach of Shabbos. So that's what the Tosfos are pointing out. That's the Machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. Rabbah says the Maisa, it's a Maisa of weakening the ground. I'm pulling out weeds. Looks like Chorish. But my end result, my end game is to have it grow better. So maybe it really should be Zorea.
Does that undo if the watermelon seed falls on the floor and you pick it up? Does that undo Zorea then?
It's a great question. So if you assume that dropping that watermelon seed or pit on the ground is Zorea, then it's very possible if you uproot it, that would then be a violation of Kotzer. They talk about this case as well. Yeah, so they're connected, those two. So the Gemara now says, Amalei Abaye L'Rabba. Abaye says to Rabba, Lididach Kasha, according to you there's a Kasha. Ul Rav Yosef Kasha, there's a question to Rav Yosef as well. Lididach Kasha, according to you, Mishim Choresh, Choresh in, Mishim Zorea lo. You, Rabba, thought it's only Choresh. Why is it only Choresh? Why is it not also Zorea? Two things are actually happening. You're both softening the ground and you're helping it grow. So why do you exclude one of the other Malach of Zorea? And the same thing, the opposite question is, Rav Yosef Kasha. Mishim Zorea in, Mishim Choresh lo. It's only a problem of planting, but it's not also a problem of plowing. Oh, but maybe you're going to tell me, maybe you're going to suggest whenever there are two types of malachas, you have to pick only one. Can't be true, because v'ha'amar Rav Kana zomer tarach le'etzim chayv shtaim achas mishim notea achas mishim kotzer. What zomer mean in English? Anyone know?
Pruning.
So pruning is you cut off the tree some of the overgrown branches. So you're accomplishing two things. One is kotzer because now you have some wood to use. But also you're helping the tree grow better now. That's also notea, which is a type of zorea. So you can't have one malacha, one maisa, which has two malachos. So kasha. So why don't you say watering the grass? And menachish, weeding, is both choresh, because it softens the ground, but it's also zorea, because it's helping it grow. And that, the Gemara ends off as a kasha.
What do
you do for warning? Halacha maisa? I'm not sure. I don't see any Ein Mishpat here. The Ein Mishpat actually says it's Mishim Zorea. So I don't know if from the Gemara at the end concludes this way, but Lamais, it seems like we paskin like Rav Yosef, that's Mishim Zorea. It's probably based on the end of Maseches Horios, the end of Maseches Brachos, the last staff of both of these Maseches, talk about whether Ochel Harim or Sinai is greater. Is it better to be Ochel Harim, which is to be a tremendous lamdim than Ian, or is it better to be Sinai and to know everything, everything bibekias? And Rav Yosef was attributed with Sinai rather, and Rabbah was attributed with Ochel Harim. So we paskin, the Gemara says there that Sinai is better to know everything, all of Shas, all of Halacha. That's better. So I guess that might be the reason why, I don't know if it's the klal in general, but I think we pass like Rav Yosef over Rabbah, so here we pass like Rav Yosef as well. As a complete aside here, my brother-in-law who was here for Shabbos, he pointed out in Gemara Bava Basra, those who are learning Daf Yomi should be getting to it soon. I don't remember which Daf though, maybe Kuf Mem Ches, where Rabbah brings a pasuk from the Torah to support something, and Rav Yosef comes along and brings a pasuk from Nevi'im afterwards. The very strange thing, why would you bring a Nevi'im after a Tanakh? If you have a Pasuk from Torah, so why would you bring a Navi second? So his suggestion was that because of Yosef was blind, and the Gemara tells in Gittin that you can't say Psukim by heart. Since of Yosef was blind, he couldn't say the Pasuk, he couldn't look inside, he couldn't say by heart. So he was forced into saying Nevi'im Ksuvim. Fine, so that assumption thinks that the Isser of Dvarim Shebechsav Yef Shalom Rim Baal Peh only applies to Torah, not to Nevi'im Ksuvim. That's number one. Number two, it assumes something else. So there's a Gemara, got a complete tangent here, but I hope you guys are okay with this tangent. There's a Gemara in Megillah that talks about Rabbi Meir was once traveling on Purim and he didn't have a Megillah wherever he was. And you need to read a Megillah al Me'aksav. So Rabbi Meir, by heart, wrote down everything, the whole Megillah by heart. And the Gemara said, how could Rav Meir do this? It's an usur to write. You can't write things without having the ksav there as well. And so the Gemara said Rav Meir was different because I think the Gemara is describing he had a photographic memory. Everything was always in front of him. He was always seeing everything, so he was able to write. If that's the case, I said to my brother-in-law, Rav Yosef, who was Sinai, he was the epitome of Sinai, he also, l'chora, knew everything by heart. He was Sinai, so he should also know everything. So even though he was a Summa, the Isser of saying something Baal Peh shouldn't be a problem to him. Just like Rabbi Meir was able to write the Megillah by heart, because for him, he knew everything, so too, he could, Rav Yosef could have quoted a pasuk in Torah by heart as well. So then my suggestion was that we know Rav Yosef at one point in history, we see a few places Rav Yosef quotes something, then he misquotes it. Rav Yosef got sick later on in life. He started to forget things. So maybe this Gemara is when Rav Yosef started to forget things, but that's why he didn't trust his memory anymore and couldn't quote a pasuk in Torah. That was our suggestion. That was our conversation over the Shabbos meal. But, okay. Weiter. The Gemara now says, halfway down, Eisivei Rav Yosef l'Rabba. Rav Yosef asks Rabba the following question. Again, remember that Rabba holds it's a problem of Choresh. Rav Yosef holds the problem of Zareah. Yosef and Zareah, the Saf and the Samech and the Zareah sound very similar, so Rav Yosef says Zareah. So asks Rav Yosef the Rabbah, HaMenachesh v'mechapeh l'klayim loke. Person who weeds out or covers up klayim, he's going to get malchus. Now let's talk about a situation where you are helping the klayim grow together. So let's say we're talking about grapes and wheat growing together, overgrowing with each other. So if you pull out some of the weeds, which now allows the grapes and wheat to grow better with each other, or you cover up with dirt to help grow better, so there's an Isser of Klaim. You get Malchus for doing that. There's an Isser deraisa. You get Malchus for helping Klaim grow. Rabbi Akiva Omer Af HaMakayim. Also, if you're Makayim, what does Makayim mean? So look what Rashi writes here, Af HaMakayim. It's around halfway down the page here. Af HaMakayim Sheroa Klaim Zarua Veinu Mevatlo. The person sees it growing and you do nothing about it, you just stand there and watch it, that's in essence you're helping by not removing. Even a Makayim, even though there's no Maisa, one would get Malchus as well for being Makayim. Okay, so that's the Mishnah about Klayim. What's the relevance to us? So Bishma Lididi, says Rav Yosef, according to me, who I hold that Menachesh weeding is Zareya. So this whole Braisa makes sense. Because Mishim Zareya, Hainu da Asira Zriya l'Klayim. Because the Pasuk says, Lo Sizra. The Isser is you can't grow Klayim, Lo Sizra. I don't have the whole Pasuk in front of me, but you can't grow Klayim. So there's only Isser Zariya. There's no Isser of Kotzer Klayim. There's no Isser of Chorish Klayim, Boer. There's only one Isser of Klayim is Zareya. So Menachesh, weeding, is a tolda of Zareya, so that's why it's Isser to do Menachesh for Klayim. Elalidach, according to you, Rabbah, Damris Mishim Charish, you think Menachesh weeding is plowing Charisha Baklaim, Miasira? Is there an Isser to plow over Klaim? So why is Menachesh Asir, according to you, Rabbah? Remember, Rabbah is an Amora. He cannot argue on a Mishnah, so how come he says Menachesh is an Isser, if it's really Charish? So Amrlei, Rabbah responds, Mishim Makayim. No. The reason when you menachesh, when you do the weeding, is not because you're being zareya. It's because you're helping it stay, you're maintaining it, you're mekayim it. Just like Rabbi Kiva says, mekayim is helping it grow, that's an iser, he says the same thing. So the Gemara says, wait a second, you can't explain the Tanakama to be talking about mekayim, that menachesh is a problem of mekayim, because that's Rabbi Kiva shita. Rabbi Kiva's arguing on the Tanakama. Only Rabbi Kiva holds mekayim is a problem. From the fact that the Sefer says that Rabbi Kiva holds Mekayim is an Issa Klayim, Mechlal, does that not imply that the Tanakama La Mishim Mekayim Hu? That there is no Issa Mekayim according to the Tanakama? So again, Rabbah, what's the problem of Menachesh? Menachesh is Chorish. There's no Issa Chorish by Klayim. Oh, you think it's Mekayim? No, Rabbi Kiva holds Mekayim. Tanakama doesn't hold a Mekayim. And so Rabbah explains that really cooler Rabbi Kiva he. Rabbi Kiva authored that entire Mishnah. Uma tam kamar. And Rabbi Kiva is just explaining his reasoning. He's really saying the Tanakhama as well. So what does the Mishnah read as now? Mai tam menachesh b'mechape b'klaim loke. Why is weeding and covering up the dirt and the seeds considered klaim and you get loke? Mishum mekayim. Because you're helping it, you're preserving it. Because Rabbi Kiva holds, Rabbi Kiva Omer, afa mekayim. Even mekayim is a problem of klayim. How does Rabbi Kiva know mekayim is an issa klayim? The pasuk only says lo sizra. So the Gemara explains as follows: My taima to Rabbi Kiva. Why is mekayim asr as well? Because the Tani, the Brayta, tells that sadcha lo sizra klayim. In your field, you shouldn't grow klayim. Ain li elazareya. The pasuk only says planting mekayim minayin. How do I know mekayim is a isr as well? Tamalomar klayim sadcha. Low, and he has the stops it there because it doesn't say Zareya lo sizra esadcha. It says Zareya at the end. Sounds like your field, there shouldn't be climb in your field at all. And also, don't Zareya, don't also plant the climb. But he's making a drush of climb sadcha low. Don't be Mekayim climb in the field at all. And that's the source of Rabbi Kiva that Mekayim is Asr. And that's again why Menachesh is Asr for climb, even according to Rabbah. Because even though Rabbah holds Menachesh is Chorish, when it comes to Klaim, Menachesh serves as being Mekayim the Klaim, and that's the Isser. We're good? Okay, the Gemara now says, Tanan, the quotes of Mishnah, our Mishnah here in Masechet Moikot in the very beginning. The Mishnah began, the Masechet began, Mashkin and Beis Hashlachim b'moed u'bashvias. That one's allowed to water their Beis Hashlachim, their very thirsty field, the field that needs a lot of water, it's permitted to water it both on Chol HaMoed and on Shemitah. Bishma Moed, I understand, Mishum Tircha, the Isser to water during Chol HaMoed is a Tircha, it's not only an Isser Derbanan, Ubimakum Seda, Shar Rabbanan. But when there's a case of a loss, a potential great loss, when the Beis HaShlachim goes a week without water, there's a Pseida, they permitted no need to Aser any Tircha, you can water. That makes sense. Ela Shvius, but Shvius, Bein Laman Damar Mishum Zareya, Bein Laman Damar Mishum Charish. Whether or not, again, Mashkin, we had a machlokas, what is watering? Is watering Zareya, according to Rav Yosef, or is it Charish, according to Rabbah? No matter how you slice it, whichever category you put Mashkin in, it's still Aser. Again, Bein Laman Damar Zareya, Bein Laman Damar Mishum Charish, Zareya V'Charisha B'Shvius Mishari? Are you permitted to do planting or plowing on Shemitah during Shemitah year? Certainly not. The Torah says you can't do either one. So how are you allowed to permit watering a Beis HaShlachim and Shemitah? It's an Isser D'Oraisa to plant and to plow during Shemitah. So Amar Abai says we're talking about B'Shvius Bizman Hazeh V'Rebihi. Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is only an Isser M'Derbanan as we're about to see. So since Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is only D'Rabanan, so in the case of a Pseida, B'malkum Pseida, they permitted you to water the Beis HaShlachim. But in Achnami, Bizman, when Shemitah is deraisa, this Mishnah wouldn't apply at all. One would not be able to water the ground during Shemitah, even if it's a Beis HaShlachim and there's a tremendous Pseida. Sorry, what?
Today you'd be allowed to, perhaps.
Today, if you pass in this way, that's Derban, which we do, then you would be allowed to for Pseida, correct. I'm trying, yeah, I imagine so.
That the farmer's whole field is supposed to be
Yes, the question is, what type of pseida is going to apply to this?
Maybe if the field won't, you won't be able to recover the field, the whole field will be
gone. It's not recoverable.
Not just that crop, but the field itself will be destroyed.
I hear. Maybe, I'm not sure. Could be. I'm not sure. Okay. Tarchid on that halach lemaisa. So anyways, the Gemara quotes now Shitas Rebbe. So who's Rebbe? That holds that Bizmana Zeh Shemitah's Dirbanim. The Tanya. The Rebbe Omer Vizeh Davar Shemitah Shamat. The Pasuk's talking about Shemitah's Ksafim, that we know all outstanding loans are cancelled when Shemitah comes. So it says the double Lashon Zeh Davar HaShemitah Shamat. Why the double Lashon Shemata Shemitah? So the Gemara Darshins, Rebbe Darshins, Bishtei Shemitah's HaKasim Medaber. It's referring to two types of Shemitahs. We have two parallel Shemitahs. Achas Shemitah's Karka. One is the removing, the separating from the property entirely. Ve'achas Shemitah Ksafim. And one is the nullifying and cancel out of all outstanding loans. But we see that the pasuk connects these two Shemitahs. So Bizman Shata Mishamit Karka Ata Mishamit Ksafim. When you're Mishamit Karka, so that's also then when the Shemitah is also going to cancel out Ksafim, the loans. But Bizman Shiata Mishamit Karka, in a time when Shemitah is no longer practiced, midiraisa, then Iyata Meshamek Ksafim, so too Shemitah's Ksafim doesn't kick in either. What we see from here, though, Rebbe does allow, he does fathom such a concept that Shemitah is not going to always be deraisa. There's some times where Shemitah won't be deraisa. Now, the Gemara here doesn't explain when it is and when it's not deraisa. That the Gemara in Gittin decides when it's deraisa, when it's not, when it's not. But I think it's dependent on whether or not we have of Rov Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, I think, is a definition of what's considered Shemitah deraisa bizman hazeh. Okay, let's stop here. I'll pick up tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Do we have a minion? It doesn't look like it.